8:15, the Causeway southbound is closed. Keep that in mind. If you're trying to get from the North Shore to the South Shore, you cannot take the Causeway. That's because of an accident. We'll let you know if anything changes on that. But between now and then, keep in mind that the Causeway heading to the South Shore is closed. Tim Temple joins us now, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
This, the damage from Helene, you know, and I don't know if you've been to Asheville or not, and Chimney Rock and all of that. I have, and it's amazing to see in a bad way the devastation that they're looking at. And then when you look all along the path of Helene as it made its way north, would that or could that have anything to do on reinsurance and our insurance rates here?
Yeah, Tommy, I mean, first, I think we got to keep in mind, as always, that, you know, there's, to date, 91 people have lost their lives, mm-hmm. and the last report I saw this morning, still 1,000 people unaccounted for. You know, people have not been able to get in touch with others and loved ones. So let's keep all of those people and families in our prayers. Look, this was, the word unprecedented is going to get used a lot. We watched this storm closely from its formation all the way as it came on shore and went up through the Carolinas and Georgia. And I don't think anyone predicted the amount of rain that was going to come from this. So it is unprecedented, but I'll tell you that in the latest numbers I saw, they were, and this is early, so everybody needs to keep this in mind. It's early. They were forecasting somewhere between $3 and $5 billion in insured losses as a result of the actual hurricane force winds. These are early numbers. This morning I was reading over $10 billion in economic loss. I think that number is going to be light, mm-hmm. And somewhere between $20 to $25 billion total. But again, these are, you know, we're still early in it. I mean, there are still places that are continuing to flood. So we're just going to have to wait and watch and see. This is going to impact the National Flood Insurance Program. I was looking at some numbers this morning in anticipation of the call, trying to see kind of what policy force they have in count. And, you know, in Louisiana, we have about 440,000 flood policies. Mm-hmm. It's about 1% of our population, if you will. And I don't have the count for, you know, buildings and, that kind of percentage. But Georgia has about 72,000 flood policies. North Carolina, about 129,000 policies. So, you know, there were other states that have some serious flooding, South Carolina and Virginia. So I think this is going to impact the NFIP program. But as far as the reinsurance for you and I, on the on our property, on our wind coverage, I think. The numbers haven't come in yet to know, but I don't see it being, you know, as bad as it could have been.
So the primary concern is going to be flood.
It's looking like it. Now, look, you know, again, Florida did take a pretty good punch from the hurricane and does have a lot of damage as a result of the hurricane. But I think, as we were saying on your program or another program, where it came in that big bend area, I mean, that is the least populated portion of that state. So there weren't as many policies, relatively speaking.
This really does speak to the importance, and I know they run the public service announcements about everybody needs flood insurance. But, you know, I was saying earlier, I think Asheville's 2,000 feet above sea level, 300 feet in from the coast. But you never know, do you?
You don't. And again, this morning when I was looking at the database, the NFIP maintains data for every state, every parish. I think you can even drill down to zip code if you want to. But, you know, there are policies all throughout our state or our country. Every state that, you know, has some policy count. And so it doesn't mean that, I mean, look, Colorado has flood policies in it. So it just because you're halfway up a mountain doesn't mean that you can't flood. And I think that's been evidenced now by the devastation we're seeing in the mountain region on the East Coast.
Yeah, let me pick it up. We can go back on. Did you see 60 Minutes last night or not?
I did.
Okay, we'll talk about that as well. Tim Temple, our guest, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Text them in. I'll pass them along. Right now, time for traffic, WWL. 8:24, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. If you've just tuned in and heard about the Causeway, Carlton Dufour Show called us and said the southbound Causeway is now opened. so you can use that as you make your way into work. Tim Temple also talked about the damage from Hurricane Helene, and as you move further inland, would appear initially, and correct me if I'm saying this wrong, Tim, would initially appear to be more of a flood concern than a wind concern? Accurate or not, as far as insurance goes?
Yeah, that's what we're, I mean, that's, again, we're early, but it appears that most of the damage is going to be from flood-related versus wind-related. It doesn't mean that you didn't have the damage there, but at least the majority, initial appearance seems to be more flood.
So I was talking about the 60 Minutes piece last night. A lot of people saw it. A lot of people are texting in about it. If you can, Commissioner, you can probably encapsulate it better than I can since you are in the industry. Explain what it showed.
Yeah, look, I watched that last night, and the company that they focused on, they highlighted where it appears that they, after the results of Hurricane Ian in Florida, that you had a particular company that were coming in, and I think the phrase used was lowballing claim estimates. Mm-hmm. And I think that highlights why you need to have, a very active relationship with the companies to ensure that they are doing what their mission is, which is to pay claims and pay claims fairly. You know, in Louisiana, we have recently passed some laws to help people understand, the consumers understand what their rights are, when a company is in bad faith. And, I can tell you that, as Commissioner of Insurance, whenever we have the next event, if I'm in this chair, I'm going to work to make sure that the companies are doing right by the consumers and paying claims quickly and accurately.
People are texting in about the flood insurance program and a national some type, and I'll ask Bill Cassidy about this, the senator, when we talk to him next half hour, but about the possibility of some type of national disaster insurance where I guess everybody would pay into it and it would cover fire or flood or hurricane or whatever. Is there a place for that with the federal government? And if so, what would that do to the private insurance market? And for people that are advocating that, I would say, well, let me ask you how flood insurance is working out for you now. And is that really what you want? Your thoughts on all of that, Tim, since you are in, an insurance guy. I mean, that's what you do for life's work, right?
Yeah, Tommy, look, I would echo what you just said. I mean, are those same people, are they the ones advocating and promoting the National Flood Insurance Program? Show me a federal program that works well like that, and then we can have a discussion about it. But look, I don't think that is the route to go. I mean, we are certainly looking at for whatever reason, hurricanes are impacting, seem to come more frequently, seem to be more intense at times. But we're also got to look at the concentration. I mean, that's one thing that I haven't seen really introduced in the conversation is when these storms are coming on shore, look at the number of properties there versus 10, 20, 30 years ago. I mean, we are building and putting more people, condensing them in the same footprint, a smaller footprint, if you will. And so when a storm does come on shore, there's more property to be damaged. So I think we have to have that discussion as well as far as, when you allow buildings to be built or homes to be built, we've got to have that conversation. Do we want to concentrate large numbers of properties in these small areas? But if you have the federal government come in and compete with the private industry, look at flood. How many companies are out there writing flood coverage right now in the U.S.? Not many, because you cannot compete with the federal government. They can make it cheap if they want to. They can subsidize it with our dollars, or if they don't have our dollars, they'll just print more money. So I don't think that a federal national disaster recovery program is the way to go. I don't know what the exact answer is, but we need to start having those conversations. But private has worked, and we need to continue to try and promote that.
Ultimately, it comes down to actuarial tables, and the basic insurance model has to be that more people buy insurance that and don't use it than do, correct?
That's correct.
So with that being the underlying rule, how do you fix insurance companies and mitigate risk other than, I guess, not insuring properties for wind and hail or whatever when they're on the coast? I'm trying to figure out what you just told me, Tim, and put all that together.
I think, Tommy, part of what we're trying to do is we also need to continue to mitigate and create properties that are more resilient as these storms come in. You know, we do things like we're doing coastal restoration. We do, you know, building of levees, elevating of properties. Now we're starting for the first time in Louisiana to build homes more resilient to wind with fortified roofs, fortified doors, fortified windows. We need to continue to promote that because we can't just tell people, you know, as you've heard and it's been said, we have a working coast. We need to have an affordable housing market in South Louisiana to keep, you know, our economy running.
We need to
also build more mitigation.
All right, thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. We'll talk to Senator Bill Cassidy. Let me just ask you, the audience, 504-2601. All right, 8:45, quarter till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by U.S. Senator Bill Cassidy. How you doing, Senator?
I'm doing really well, Tommy, except for the Saints yesterday. I'm doing great.
Yeah, I need a prescription for that, doctor, if you can write me something to make that memory go away. Let's talk about what happened with Helene and flood insurance and you know, the basic insurance model, right? And I was talking to Tim Temple about this just now, is more people have to pay into it than use it, or else the company's not going to be in business. That's not the way insurance works. The people that pay for the ones that use it are the ones that don't use it. That's accurate, is it not?
It absolutely is accurate. And what's happening with the National Flood Insurance Program is that they are trying to pay back the debt going all the way back to Katrina, when federally built levees failed.
Yep.
They're trying to pay back that debt now, in addition to spread the risk out among everybody. Now, you can spread the risk out among everybody, but you're not going to be able to pay back that debt and the interest on the debt, by the way, from levees that the federal government built and that failed. So if I'm a little frustrated by this, I am.
No, I can understand.
I'll point out.
No, because you're right. Katrina missed the city. It's the failure of the levees that they built that the studies in Vicksburg showed them would fail the flood walls that they did anyway.
And so now in that premium that somebody's paying for the flood insurance program, is paying back the interest and the principal on all the accumulated debt. Now, if you just took that money, say, just take the interest. One of the reforms I proposed is just suspend the interest and use it to mitigate the risk of flooding. Now, it's been shown, recent report, that if you, whatever you invest in mitigating the risk of flooding, you actually get back much more in terms of decreasing the expenditures from the program. So this is kind of looking forward as trying to make amends for that which has passed. And by the way, Helene shows, is not just a Louisiana problem, not just a Florida problem, it is a Carolinas problem, it is a Tennessee problem, it is going to be an Ohio problem, and they just stopped writing flood insurance in California, one carrier did, because of a California problem. So we've got to fix the program.
And don't forget, North Carolina, I guess you've been, I presume, Senator, you've been in Asheville and that area and Chimney Rock and all that?
I have been. I'm thinking the Biltmore flooded?
Yeah, I have too, and it's a beautiful area. That's 2,000 feet above sea level, 300 feet inland, and I guess I'm just thinking that when it comes to, I don't know, you don't want the government to force people to buy insurance. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. People text me about some kind of national disaster insurance program. I don't know if you do it through a tax or whatever you do, but it just, and I forget what happened with Obamacare and the Commerce Amendment. I forgot exactly how that turned out, the Commerce Clause. But the point I'm making is the only way you could have a national insurance plan is if everybody paid into it, right? And then it covered, I'm talking about the model here, and then it would cover fire, forest fires, or not anything that happened within your home, but something that happened exterior. You understand where I'm going with this?
I know exactly where you're going. My problem is I can't get the people from Utah to support it.
Yeah.
Or the people from Wyoming. And now, by the way, they have their own problems. They have drought. They have an occasional flood. But politically, it's been difficult to convince people. So my sights are, what do we do to reform the National Flood Insurance Program? Well, we just voted for a spending bill which reauthorizes it through December the 20th. So we got it still going. We got to get it going for the whole year. Then we need to reform it so that it's going to be more affordable, more sustainable, more accountable. And I've got a commitment that we'll have a a hearing on our bill and a markup on the bill next Congress. So I'm pleased about that.
Was this about $206 million from FEMA's Flood Mitigation Assistance Program? What's that for?
Yeah, speaking of which, in the bipartisan infrastructure bill, again, I call it a Cassidy Amendment. You weren't supposed to have earmarks, but we said that there's going to be $3 billion to mitigate risk of flooding, prioritizing areas that flooded in the previous 10 years. Well, that was like Louisiana and Texas and Superstorm Sandy. So we got $206 million this time. Texas got a little bit more this year. We usually get more than Texas. But most of it's going to the New Orleans area, like almost $52 million going to Gretna for a distributed green network. The city of New Orleans is getting $11 million for elevation projects. Jefferson Parish is getting $9 million. St. Tammany Parish is getting $5 million. All to mitigate risk of flooding, Mandeville specifically, Slidell specifically, St. Charles Parish. This money is coming to our state, to our region, to lower the risk of flooding, and it's all because of the infrastructure bill, and I'm proud to have been a part of it.
What's going on with the FEMA and the methodology and risk rating 2.0, where does all of that stand? Is anything? Oh, let me clean this up. I'm getting some text here. I said that Asheville was 300 feet inland. Obviously, it's not 300 feet inland. It's 300 miles inland. I misspoke. But, well, what's going on with the 2.0? And have any books been opened? Is anybody looking at methodology here? Are we any closer to seeing what the hell's happening?
Well, so for those who are listening, the National Flood Insurance Program, which is run by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, put out a new way to rate the risk of an individual's risk of flooding called Risk Rating 2.0. Some people got lower premiums. A lot of people who had never flooded, who are behind flood control structures, are seeing double-digit premiums every year compounding. And when you look at kind of their rationale, it's really not clear. It's really not clear how they're coming to these decisions. So they've met with my staff. They got us on the spreadsheet. You'd have to be there with them explaining it to you to understand it. But they've not put it out there for homeowners and for developers. The bill that we'll have a hearing on and a vote on committee next Congress, which will be like in January, February, March, will actually put in reforms that will lower the cost for premiums. And put in reforms that will do it while maintaining the actuarial soundness of the program. So we got work to do, but I've got a commitment from my committee chair, my committee ranking member, that they will have this hearing and they'll vote on my bill next Congress. We're making progress.
Real quick before I let you go, because I know you got, you're in Washington right now, Louisiana?
Oh, no, I'm in Louisiana, going down to Waggaman.
Are you really? It's lovely this time of year.
It is gorgeous today, although I think it's getting a little hot, but still it's not so humid. It's wonderful.
Waggaman's a great place to be this time of year. What are you doing at Waggaman?
Just meeting with a work site, going over there to Cornerstone Energy Park and meeting with some CF Industries and, you know, just a lot of good-paying jobs, supporting families, supporting better futures. I'm all about that, trying to bring more business to our state.
I was asking an economist last week about debt and deficit and Social Security reform, and I don't see where anybody ever has the political will to stand up and risk not being reelected to do what it takes. I'm not talking about you, but to do whatever it takes to really reform Social Security or stabilize Social Security despite what we're hearing is going to happen for people that are already receiving it. Your thoughts on that?
So we are working on a plan. And our plan is different than other plans in which we set up an investment fund. Now, I like this because Trump just recently announced he would like to set up an investment fund for the federal government. And John Paulson, who's somebody famous in the finance world, is supporting his idea. I've been working on this for 4 years. And so when Trump's elected, we can take this to him, say, listen, if you want to bail out social, we've got everything worked out to put in an investment plan. We put $1.5 trillion in it over 5 years, invest it in the economy, allow the investment to grow just like you do your 401k, and you put every return back into it. And it's about 70 years from now, and that's how long you think about for social, it pays off almost all of the all of the debt associated with Social Security. Nobody gets a cut in benefit. In fact, under our plans, we do things like repeal windfall elimination program, and so we make the program a little bit better. And I like it because Trump is saying, well, this is the way we go. Boom, we got the legislation for it to work.
But you'd have to have the congressional support for that, right?
Oh, absolutely. But we had 14 senators, 7 Republicans, 7 Democrats who were supporting the plan last Congress. And then we reviewed it with the Biden White House, and they just said, no, we don't want to do it. In fact, I may have told you this, but he gives the State of the Union. He attacks Republicans on social. As we walk out, one of my Democratic colleagues says, well, he's running for re-election attacking you guys. There's no way we can get this through. And so we've just put it, you know, okay, we're not going to work on it yet. We're not going to make it public yet. But this is all reported in the newspapers. I'm not telling you anything that isn't public. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Trump is saying, wait a second, he wants an investment fund. We've been working on it, and he can bail out social.
All right. Anything else, Senator, before we let you go?
No, man. Good interview, Tommy. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for talking to us. We'll talk to you again soon. Dr. Mr. Senator Bill Cassidy, 855, Traffic Now, WWL.